I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Journalism, you may have heard, is in dire straits. Layoffs, whole newspapers shutting down, a million microblogs. Even so, it's kind of startling to hear one newspaper staff compared to a bunch of unhappy soccer stars looking to transfer to another team.
There's been so much public dispute and squabble that one French journalist said it's like watching a football team in transfer season.
My BBC colleague Lucy Williamson there in Paris telling me about the staff of Charlie Hebdo, the French satirical magazine that was attacked by two gunmen with links to Al-Qaeda last January. They killed 12 people. The most likely motive? The magazine's frequent depictions of and jokes about the Prophet Muhammad. Lucy Williamson says the assault provoked an outpouring of solidarity with the magazine.
I think people all over the world were focused on the magazine, were watching as the surviving staff, clung to each other during the memorial services, and one of the staff members describing how important it was for them to get together and talk together, hug each other, and put the next edition of the paper out. There was a real determination to keep going. And really, 9 months on, it's a very different picture indeed. The newspapers here in France have been full of the comings and goings at the two very high-profile departures that have been announced just in the past few weeks.
I even heard that the paper finally, after decades, became profitable after those massacres. Is this an economic thing, or is it kind of more about the editorial content?
I think it's lots of things together. I think it's the fact that you're dealing with a group of people who've been through such a serious trauma creates in itself pressures that the newspaper had to deal with. It lost 3 out of 5 of its editorial directors, including high-profile founder Sharb. And at the same time, they've had to deal with new pressures. There's lots of criticism from some staff that the editorial line has changed. But the money question you mentioned is also really interesting. You're right that the paper was struggling before the attacks and after the attacks because of the renewed subscriptions, because of the uptick in people buying the paper and because of donations. It's become one of the wealthiest newspapers in France, reportedly.
Wow.
And the difficulty that many staff members have with those funds, that it's not money that's been honestly earned, if you like. It's money that has come as a result of something that many of them still find very difficult to talk about and very difficult to process.
Kind of sympathy money, in a way. Has the magazine continued to depict images of the Prophet Muhammad?
There's been some controversy about that because one of the most senior cartoonists, Luz, has said he won't draw the Prophet Muhammad anymore. Now, he is also someone who's said he's going to resign from the paper. He's obviously got some issues with continuing. But he said he wouldn't draw the Prophet Muhammad because he was no longer inspired by him. Now, the other person to come out and say that is the new director, Rhys. And he's come in for some criticism by some staff that maybe there is this attempt to be slightly less confrontational, to avoid drawing the sort of focus that they drew before.
You know, there was a lot of criticism pretty recently of Charlie Hebdo's decision to publish a cartoon depicting that dead Syrian boy washed up on a Turkish beach, Aylan Kurdi. Is that kind of the mood right now at Charlie Hebdo? No one really knows where the organization's line of decency is anymore?
I think it depends who you talk to. It's very difficult with a newspaper to really gauge how many of the staff are behind which faction, if you like. I mean, any news organization has these kind of editorial disputes. I think at Charlie Hebdo, they've become particularly sharp because its editorial board has been decimated and because of this large amount of money, that the idea of who controls that money, who decides how much goes to the victims, how much goes to the paper, is still a very live one. Those are all things that are swirling around at the paper at the moment. And it's a perfect storm, if you like.
And I gather they've also moved into new offices. Is it safe to say that the attack on Charlie Hebdo in January has just prompted second guessing about personal security?
Yeah, they've spent most of the past year at the offices of the Libération newspaper in Paris. They've moved into their new offices now. You're dealing with, as I say, a very traumatized surviving staff who are still living under very difficult conditions. They're not free to come and go as they want. It's very difficult for many of them to work in the way they would like to work in. Even at home, there's a fear of snipers, there's a fear of intruders. They have to live with their curtains drawn. They live in the dark because They're too scared to open the curtains, let the sunlight in, for fear of being seen, for fear of being targeted. And they have many of them round the clock security with them all the time. It's been suggested that may be behind some of the decisions to leave the paper. And it's very difficult to tease out exactly where one issue ends and where the next issue begins.
What do you think the future of the magazine is?
Well, there's a real commitment to keep going with the magazine. It's now financially secure, so that's not a problem anymore. But I think what some people feel is that it has been fundamentally changed in the process, that the old hierarchy, the camaraderie, the old naivety, if you like, the innocence has gone. And for many people who lived through those years, that's very difficult. One of the columnists who told us he was going to leave by the end of the year said that for him, Charlie Hebdo is dead. And it may well be that the magazine carries on and thrives, but for him, it was over, and he had to know when was the right time to leave.
The BBC's Lucy Williamson speaking with me from Paris. Thank you very much, Lucy.
Thank you.